This is the Live Feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the Live Feed, we visit with a musician who is studying philosophy at St. Mary's University in Winona, Minnesota. Benjamin Scott began playing the piano when he was a child, and after becoming interested in his brother's band, he decided to venture into the world of music. Ben plays the piano and sings in the band Morning Foreign, which was created right here in Winona. He also occasionally plays the saxophone in the band. In this interview, we discuss some of the theories of philosophy that intrigue Ben and shape some of the lyrics and songs he writes. We go now to the KQAL studio where we interviewed Benjamin, and then to Ed's No Name Bar in Winona where we catch some of the Morning Foreign tunes. You guys are listening to the Live Feed, and I'm Lisa Ostrander, and we're here with Benjamin Scott with the band Morning Foreign.
Yo.
If you want to just give a little introduction, just your name, where you're from, and what instruments you play.
Yeah, Ben Scott, Benjamin, either or. I play tenor saxophone currently, but in the band, I play piano, actually occasionally saxophone, but more so just piano and vocals. Yeah, I write and arrange all the parts.
You said the other day that you go through a lot of different arrangements, things like that. People just sort of hop on and...
Yeah, well, we actually... The first recordings we did last year, we were working through them, and I started pissing off the guy I was recording with a little bit because I had so many parts that wanted to be played by so many different instruments. But thankfully, I was friends with a lot of musicians, so I ended up getting one of the history professors who I knew to lay down bass on all the tracks.
Nice.
And about 12 other people. So we had like a Charles Mingus prototype track, like six different saxophones.
And there
we go. It was pretty crazy. But
pretty elaborate, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. You might want to call it that. It was pretty new. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what the next album brings. I'm sure there'll be as many people, if not more, depending on what parts there are.
So what was the title of the first CD then?
The first CD was called Cigarette Psalms.
Cigarette Psalms. Psalms?
Psalms, yeah. Bible Psalms.
Interesting.
Yeah, real deep meaning right there.
Yeah, for sure. And you have plans to record a next CD then. Do you know when that's going to take place?
Hopefully, if all goes well, that'll start going down in late January and go all the way throughout the spring.
Okay.
Got about 10 or 11 tracks right now, but we're just doing prep work right now. I get a friend who I'm doing arranging with.
Okay.
For a few of the string parts,
right,
be like an experimental folk, hopefully. Somewhere
totally switching gears, huh?
Yeah, I guess you want to. There's not a whole lot of gears to switch yet.
Yeah,
you know?
I suppose.
You can't have too many at 20 years old, 21. I mean, come on.
So you are a student at St. Mary's University. What is your major?
Well, I started out as in English with a writing emphasis and jazz saxophone performance double major. But I decided I want to make maybe like $500 more than that. So I switched and became just straight up philosophy. So yeah, I don't know where that's going to take me. Hopefully grad school.
There we go. You want to teach?
Yeah. It'd be nice to think that or be a professional bum. I don't know.
One of the two.
Yeah, Charlie Parr seems to be doing just fine.
Right?
You know, just making an Australian ad will be totally fine.
There we go. Was he a philosophy major?
Yeah, he actually graduated with a bachelor's.
Interesting.
Up in the cities, yeah. I had him come down for one of the clubs on campus, and he was saying that he was skipping out in like two of his classes, but this one he was just obsessed with. And he just was, apparently he weeped like every other class time.
Hmm.
But yeah, he ended up graduating.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your live performances. How often do you perform, and where do you like to perform, and where do you hope to take that in the future?
The first performance of the Morning Foreign Band was with me and five other people over at Ed's for the Midwest Music Fest, which is pretty funny, having your debut first live show, you know, at a music festival.
Yeah, for sure.
But it worked out all right. But yeah, the only other show we played was this one this past Wednesday. I mean, I guess right now we just want to make sure we're working up enough songs to the point where we can play a full two-set show. The next one isn't until February 18th at the Winona Arts Center, which would be great. It's a little more quiet, a little more intimate environment.
Yeah,
which
I think it's really exciting that they're starting to do shows.
Yeah, that's great, man. And the old church?
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't get much better venue than that, man.
Right, for sure. Better sound probably than a lot of the bars around town, too. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see.
We'll find out. So tell me about an embarrassing moment that you've had on stage.
Probably the most embarrassing moment I had was when I was in the recording studio with Andrew Yamber, my drummer, and the guy who records all this stuff. He's incredible, by the way, both as a person and as a recording engineer. But we were in the studio together recording, and it was fun, and he just asked me one question about one of the lyrics, and I realized how bad it was, and that attached to it were another string of really bad lyrics together. And yep. That was a pretty bad day after that. I had to do quite a bit of revision. I had to look up the rest of the songs to make sure they just weren't as bad as that one.
Just moments that you wrote lyrics and then you realize that they just weren't right.
Yeah, you think at 3 a.m. every lyric is the best you've ever written. And then you realize, well, it was 3 a.m, man. And sure. You were not in your right mind.
Tell me about a really great time you had, whether it be recording or performing or just an all-around fun time that you had.
I think the best time I had was the first time I ever made my own original music. I mean, I was in jazz band for years and, you know, wrote a lot of poetry. But yeah, the first creation moment was September of last year. I was over at a friend's place. We don't talk anymore. Go figure. But I was over there and I had happened to bring my poetry along with me. And we were, I think, having... was it Christian Brothers bourbon or whiskey or something? And just kind of hanging out, and I saw you had this old, like, 1982 electric piano. Nice. Just this tiny little thing. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I took it out and started dabbling with it, and he had a guitar. And he said, well, do you want to make a song? I said, well, yeah, I guess. I have some poetry with me. Why not? So we started going along with it and trying a few things. Came out with a riff. Like, oh, wow, this actually sounds semi-decent. I mean, little did I know I was actually consuming incredible amounts of alcohol simultaneously, right. Not paying attention to the empty beers and shot glasses next to me.
Right.
And eventually, you know, a couple hours later when I, by that point, almost blacked out, had I created my first piece of music. Yeah, I can't say it was my most proud moment, but...
But hey, you know, you had fun doing it. Sometimes that matters a lot.
Yeah, I mean, playing Ultimate Frisbee 8 a.m. the next day wasn't exactly the most fun moment. But yeah, it was pretty cool. And then, you know, just laying it down on the piano the next few weeks, and it's like, well, I guess I can do this.
When did your creation realm begin, I guess, for music and for poetry? Like, how old were you and what instruments did you start playing? And, you know, what was your, I guess, training? Like, were you self-taught in a lot of areas or...
Yeah, all private tutors.
All private tutors.
No.
There we go.
No, I actually started writing poetry in a really cliche way because my girlfriend at the time and we had broken up, and I was a broken-hearted junior in high school. I was like, man, I gotta find ways to release all this emotion, you know, the broken-hearted Ben. So I discovered that there's a guy named T.S. Eliot and that he wrote some pretty nice things like The Wasteland. So I thought to myself, well, why not try to emulate that as a junior in high school? I think it was a good decision. I can't say it was very good poetry, right. But, you know, it was a starting. I mean, you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I started writing for a couple of years, started paying attention to people like Allen Ginsberg and Bob Dylan. I was a pretty big fan of Elliott Smith, too. He had some pretty incredible things to say. But during that time, I had taken about 5 years of piano, and I've been playing saxophone all the way throughout there, and started developing an incredible taste for Charles Mingus and Duke Ellington, John Coltrane, Eric Dolphy. And
lots of jazz.
Lots of jazz, yeah, and started getting involved with some of the more experimental sides of music while simultaneously paying attention to, you know, the great guys like Bach and those people. I mean, right. I'm pretty sure everyone encounters them at some point. It's nothing original,
yeah.
But
right.
I mean, it was a cool synthesis moment. You know, at the same time, I started discovering philosophers. Curious enough, I think Bertrand Russell was the first, which is kind of a funny way to start. Mm-hmm. Kind of a ridiculous dude sometimes.
We're all ridiculous at times.
Well, you gotta be.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only way to enjoy life. go above and beyond the realm of reality.
Yeah, where would we be if Bob Dylan didn't go through his Christian fandom stage?
Definitely.
I mean, saved. You gotta be. So yeah, I don't know. That's kind of like the beginnings of all the music. I was really influenced by my brother, who first introduced me to the most brilliant band on the planet, Radiohead. And he had a band called Amateur Love out of Eau Claire. One of his friends, Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, and all those, Megaphone and Peter Wolf Crier, all those guys were his friends. And I got influenced by them quite a bit, actually. They had this sort of pop folk experimental side to them when I was just became obsessed with it. Of course, it was probably just me, you know, wanting to be like my brother.
Right.
You know, if you have a cool older brother.
I have an older brother.
Yeah, you want to be like him.
Yep.
But, you know, it was probably the best influence I could have had, rivaling T.S. Eliot.
Yeah, maybe a little more influential than that one T.S. Eliot poem.
Yeah, that one T.S. Eliot poem. Yeah.
One
of the side projects.
15-page T.S. Eliot poem with 30 notes at the end. Yeah.
yeah, of course.
It's like the never-ending poem, you know. You can read about it.
Yeah, just skip over the notes. Unimportant.
I agree, personally.
that T.S. Eliot influence, and it's interesting how poetry develops. I mean, I saw all his references, and I thought, wow, that's kind of a cool, it's kind of a neat idea for writing poetry, you know, you reference things. Yeah, I've been starting to pay attention to books for a couple of years, you know. You think he's got a step ahead of me.
But hey, you know what? You're one in a million then if you're starting to pay attention to books now, because there's too many people out there that don't pay any attention to books anymore.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Those nooks. Like, you can't write on the page in nooks. Right. It's problematic.
Now, the age of technology, nobody needs to read books anymore. They can just watch movies about the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We won't even go delve into that right now, right?
Discussion of Harry Potter. Maybe I can get my next album to coincide with the opening of Harry Potter.
There we go.
The two generation-defining moments in history, the Morning Foreign City and Harry Potter, coinciding together.
For sure. So is there any specific theme that you live and play your music by? I know, right? What a deep question.
My music expresses me, man. I've been paying attention to Augustine and Soren Kierkegaard and Ludwig Wittgenstein, some of those guys who have some phenomenal things to say about the lived aspect of philosophy. I'm all for, you know, the more abstract elements of thinking and the sciences, and I think they're wonderful things. But there's something about living out one's beliefs. It seems like a discourse that shouldn't go away and can't go away in philosophy.
And I mean, that's never ending, because there's always new ways of thinking.
Yeah, I suppose one way or another. With the poetry and the music, a big element is just trying to figure out what it means to be in relationships with others and be in relationship with yourself.
Connectivity of it all.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there's that whole dichotomy of the community and the individual. And, you know, you have people like Bourdieu who say, is that really a distinction? Can you really say you're not a community, you're not an individual simultaneously? I mean, it's a very relevant topic. So I guess in my own writing and music and trying to avoid those pretentious attitudes, those universal statements, I guess it's just trying to understand what it means to be in a relationship without getting too heady about it. Because, I mean, the worst thing that can happen with philosophy is that it becomes unrelatable.
Yeah.
And I think that's unfortunately what's happened for a few things.
Well, I think, you know, as time goes on and not as many people are writing. And well, you know, I'm not sure about this because I'm definitely not a philosophy major. But I think that it becomes difficult because there aren't as many people writing about their personal philosophies anymore as much as maybe during the 60s or 70s. Am I wrong there?
Well, I mean, there's definitely a few philosophies in the 60s and 70s.
But a lot of it's before then? Let's not even go there.
Well, yeah, we won't even go there. Yeah,
let's not even. I know this could be like a 35, 40 million year conversation. But
yeah, well, let's put it this way. When I graduate college, I will have maybe understood how to read a book. I won't even answer that. I mean, I'm just, all you're studying really is, I mean, you're just learning how to read books.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't even begun to look underneath the surface yet. Right. And if you think you have, then.
Haven't even delved into your own philosophies after school. It's more just learning about how to delve into your own philosophies.
Yeah, man, I think that one book the guy wrote, How to Read a Book, I think that's pretty relevant. Hopefully.
It's a book called How to Read a Book?
Yeah, it came out back in the day, and I think the title speaks volumes. Yeah, being a philosophy major, I think it's a good thing, you know?
Good.
Live in poverty.
Right, there we go. I'm going to write a book, and I already know the title. It's going to be called Who Cares? What do you think? Would you read it?
Yeah, I think you might fit in with William S. Burroughs or something like that.
No, yeah. Precisely. That's what I was going for. Good deal. So if you could leave your listeners with one last phrase or word, what would it be?
Peace and justice. No, I don't know. I guess.
There's the Bob Dylan in you coming out.
Yeah, really. Everyone's inner Bob Dylan. Yeah, I don't know. I guess concerning the band, maybe one day it'll go places. Maybe it won't, but either way, it's going to make a dent somewhere.
Have fun with it, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess that's the last word.
All right, then. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you. It's great.
This one's called Born of Birds. I was born of birds, yes, I was born of birds, and I was born. of birth. But when my body made for the ascent, I found weights around my ankles. Yes, weights around my ankles. But on the 18th bend, I found my way into the trenches, far away from the singing trees and fall of spring sleeves. I wander around the canal. Something for something or someone. But though I did not look to the sky, I fell back into the ride.
Stars, making faces at the stars. Features Mr. Brian Cusick in a female vocal part. I think he can manage. For a fool soul. you'll understand. Oh, what I am, cause I'm not preaching Superman, cause I'm just trying to see if I can find out who I am. No, no. I've known you for oh so long. I've known you for oh so long. I will know you even when the sun falls down. It falls down. And I've loved you for oh so long. So long, and I love you for oh so long. Sun falls down, and it falls down. And I've loved you for oh so long. And I've loved you for oh so long. Sun falls down.
We would like to thank Benjamin Scott for coming into our studio for an interview. Be sure to tune in on Friday for another episode of The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.